Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst with Wall Street Reporter. Joining me today are David Hirsch, CEO and CFO of Orgenyx, and Dr. Hillmen, who is the Chief Scientific Officer of Orgenyx, which trades under the ticker symbol ORNI on the OTC bulletin board and ALONI on the New York Stock Exchange Ultranext Paris. Thanks for joining me today, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Great. Start off by talking to us about the Smart Tooth technology and the recently being named by Popular Mechanics as a top 20 breakthrough.
I'm happy to answer that question. This is Jeff Hillmen. Yeah, it's been certainly a dream of microbiologists since the time of Louis Pasteur to use good bacteria to fight the bacteria, the bad bacteria that cause disease. And over the past 100 years, a lot of different laboratories have tried to make this dream come true. There has been a problem throughout in that when one finds a good bacteria to use, it invariably has some problem attached to it. And although there's been some notable successes over the course of literally decades, the ideal approach, that is to say, finding an effector strain that can combat bad bacteria has been elusive. So just in the past 20 years or so, with the advent of genetic methods, what are typically referred to as recombinant DNA technology or genetic engineering techniques, what we've been able to do and what our big triumph in this area has been is to actually use these tools to actually tailor very precisely a strain of bacteria that can be used to fight tooth decay. And so this is a strain that has all the properties, really idealized strain that has all the properties that enables it to be safe and to fight the bacteria that cause tooth decay and that allows for a single treatment to provide lifelong protection against this very, very common disease. The article that appeared in Popular Mechanics is obviously a terrific tribute to the logic of using good bacteria to fight bad bacteria. And we're, of course, very pleased and proud that we were selected for this list of technologies that are intended to change medicine and the way it's practiced. And we believe that this is going to be the first of many technologies that have the same goal of using bacteria, good bacteria, to fight bad bacteria.
Yeah, and once again, the technology was named number one among the top 20 biotech breakthroughs by Popular Mechanics. And talk a little bit about also Priboria and Depol. Talk a little bit about some of your other products and what are some of their uses.
We actually, as a company, have a fairly wide array of technologies. Another one in oral care, which is currently being marketed, so it is much further along than smart replacement therapy. It is a mixture of three natural strains of bacteria that are intended to promote healthy teeth and gums, and they have the cosmetic effect of producing a whitening effect on teeth and freshening breath. So this is a product called Evora Plus, and it is available through a number of different channels, not the least of which is through the company website, evoraplus.com. We have another area of interest. It is new antibiotics, including our lead antibiotic that addresses major health concerns right now, gram-positive bacteria that are causing a significant illness and causing a number of deaths each year because there are no antibiotics capable of treating these infectious agents. We have, to combat this, the development of a new antibiotic. It's a first of a kind, and it appears to be extremely well-suited as what's typically called the drug of last resort, the treatment of bacteria that cannot be treated using any other method. And this is preclinical. We're in the process of scaling up our manufacture of it and producing material that can be used in clinical trials, so-called GMP material. And we hope to be into clinical trials, if everything goes well, sometime early next year. There's another set of technologies, quite different, that address the problem of being able to diagnose and treat infectious diseases and, for that matter, cancers early. So while infectious diseases and cancers have obviously been an area of tremendous concern for a number of years, we've really not made as much progress as you might think, given the amount of effort that has gone into studying them. What we have been able to do is to develop some platform technologies that allow us to look at proteins that are made by pathogenic microorganisms or normal healthy cells when they become cancer cells. And we have significant evidence to date that these proteins that are made during the course of an actual disease process are really excellent targets for the development of new diagnostic products, which will enable us to discern whether or not the disease exists and to determine that very early on in the disease process. So we've done a number of different projects, everything from tuberculosis to cancer, and we believe that these are going to be very promising areas for further development for the company.
Yeah, just certainly with anything, you know, early detection is certainly the key.
No.
And can you guys talk a little bit about the some of the developing trends in the market right now, and how well positioned is Orgenix to really capitalize?
Well, as Dr. Hillman mentioned, we're a rather diverse company. We've got four separate divisions: smart replacement therapy, which you know, Jeff talked about earlier. Then we have consumer healthcare. We have antibiotics, and we have diagnostics. Now, it may appear that these four divisions are diverse and not connected in any way, but that's really not the case. The common thread with all four divisions is oral biology. And really, we feel that we're very well positioned here because we're providing, you know, four separate opportunities for success. You know, Jeff talked a little bit about diagnostics, you know, and trends in diagnostics. Clearly, you know, the benefits that we bring to the table in that particular area is that we find unique markers that no one else can find. We do it cheaper, and we do it faster. So we have a substantial competitive advantage in that particular area, and we're starting now to see a migration from traditional tests to you know, tests that will detect, you know, cancers and infections earlier and more accurately. A prime example is colorectal cancer. We've actually formed a collaboration agreement with a major global diagnostics company in this endeavor. And the idea is to go from the testing methodology that is popular and in place now, which is primarily fecal occult blood and then colonoscopy, to migrate towards a blood test. So, you know, obviously the problems that you have with colonoscopy is compliance. It's not a very enjoyable test for most people. So, you know, you run into the problem that people don't have the diagnostic done, and then by the time that they, you know, they do have the diagnostic done, it's often the case that the cancer has progressed to the point where it's severe or incurable. So the idea with the diagnostics is to get to a point where we can do, you know, simple blood tests and detect, you know, problems at an earlier stage. Working backwards, antibiotics, you know, it's been estimated that, you know, there are approximately 2 million people that get hospital-borne infections each year in the United States, and 100,000 people will die from these infections. It's an enormous problem. You know, every day you see in the press that, you know, there are articles about, you know, people that pass away or get infected with MRSA, you know, or VRE, you know, two hospital-borne infections. MRSA is actually you can actually catch MRSA outside of the hospital. There's been cases of, you know, high school wrestlers catching it and, you know, football players and things like that. It's an enormous problem, and we've overused antibiotics in our society, and as a result, you know, some of these infections have figured out how to migrate around, you know, the measures that we have to prevent them or to cure them. So what we're finding is that there's a dramatic need for, you know, powerful antibiotics that have not been out into the stream of health previously. And that's what makes our antibiotics so appealing, is that they come from a class of antibiotics known as lantibiotics. Jeff, do you want to talk a little bit about lantibiotics and why you feel that they have staying power and why they're so powerful?
Sure. Very briefly, lantibiotics have been known for over 80 years. The first one was actually discovered slightly before penicillin. And although 50 molecules belonging to this class of antibiotics have been discovered since then, none of these have ever been either produced or purified in sufficient amounts to be able to test any one of them as a therapeutic agent for the treatment of an infectious disease. So Orgenic's big breakthroughs have been, first of all, to manufacture enough, to produce enough of one of these, our lead antibiotic called MU-1140, to be able to do the clinical trials that indicate that it looks like it's going to be an excellent drug for the treatment of infectious diseases, including such things as MRSA and VRE, and possibly even tuberculosis. The other thing about this technology and Orgenix achievements in this regard is that we've developed a chemical approach, a synthetic approach to manufacture these antibiotics, which are normally made by bacteria, but only either in very small amounts or in a milieu which from which it's very hard to purify them. So having a synthetic approach allows us to make MU-1140 and indeed all 50 of these molecules in what we think will be a very cost-effective fashion in very large scale. So that's exactly what we're engaged in trying to do right now. And the outcome of this, we expect, will be that somewhere between 5 and 10 new antibiotics will come out of this work, each of which is likely to have a novel way of killing bacteria, which means that it's likely to be an extremely useful drug from the standpoint that bacteria don't already know how to get around the problem of the drug killing it. So This is really a substantial, or potentially a very substantial pipeline of new antibiotics, which is something that has been missing from drug development as major pharma has moved more towards drugs that require more of a lifestyle choice, drugs that are taken every day rather than just for treatment of a brief infectious disease. We think we'll make a very important contribution from the standpoint of developing these antibiotics.
Yeah, that sounds like a win-win. And can you guys talk a little bit about some of what differentiates their company from other players in the sector?
Well, clearly, if you look at most biotech companies that are out there, they may have one or two products. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have four different groupings or divisions, And we have one that's commercializing now. So, you know, if we step back and we summarize, we've got, you know, potential, you know, earth-changing technology here with SMART that has the potential to cure, you know, tooth decay, which is an enormous problem throughout the world. We have antibiotics that we feel have the potential to cure, you know, hospital-borne infections and even, you know, tuberculosis, which, you know, affects a substantial portion of the world's population. And then we have diagnostics that allow us to, you know, to find markers that other people can't find, and hopefully to develop tests that will detect, you know, cancers and infections at an early stage and allow people to be treated appropriately. And lastly, we have these, you know, the consumer healthcare division. We've got products that are commercializing right now. We are selling products. So we have short-term, you know, cash that is being generated and revenues that are being generated from the sale of technologies that we were able to take out, you know, and put over the counter so that people can actually benefit from them, you know, now. And that really, you know, that in and of itself would make us unique among biotech companies, because most biotech companies have to go through, you know, the FDA process in order to get, you know, product out and the point where they can start generating revenue. So we have a diverse, you know, portfolio of technologies, and we have, you know, we have some that are commercializing now that have enormous market potential in and of themselves. And then we have these three other divisions that, you know, could be, you know, potential grand slam technologies that would have enormous impact on, you know, on the health of the world. So I think that puts us in a very unique position, and, you know, we are very optimistic about, you know, about the way things are going at Orgenix, and we feel that we're very well positioned right now to make these things happen.
And perhaps you can walk us through a little bit about the experience of your management team in the background.
Sure. Jeff, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? You know, Jeff is very well known in the industry, and Jeff, why don't you elaborate a little bit about your background?
Sure. Starting with born in a log cabin in Miami, and moving on quickly to doing my college work at the University of Chicago, a dental degree from the Harvard School of Dental Medicine, and a PhD in molecular genetics from Harvard as well. I was on faculty at the Forsyth Institute in Boston and the Harvard School of Dental Medicine for 15 years, and then came in search of a more Demolson climate to the University of Florida for about 10 years. I founded and started working for Orgenix to help to realize some of the discoveries that I had made during the course of my academic career. In 1996, the company was founded, and I began working at it full-time in 2000.
And I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am actually a lawyer. Went back and got an MBA at Carnegie Mellon. For the last 10 years, I've primarily been working with emerging technology companies, you know, providing consulting services, investment banking services, and even legal services for companies. And so my specialty really is, you know, in venture capital and even restructuring. I spent time doing that as well. So, you know, we've got a very solid management team here. The team is very cohesive, probably more cohesive now than ever before. We've got strength in our marketing group with a gentleman named Jerry David, who's got over 25 years of experience in consumer marketing, especially in the nutraceutical area. He's spearheading our efforts in getting our Evora Plus product out. We have, you know, we have a significant amount of depth for the size of team that we have.
You know, we're very focused on making sure that we identify opportunities that will benefit the company and get the technology, you know, moving forward and get it out. And, you know, we're able to execute on those opportunities. So.
Well, thanks for the info. And can you give us a, what objectives have you guys as a management team set forward with the company over the next 12 to 24 months?
Well, you know, we have these four different groupings or divisions of the technologies, and we have specific goals in mind for each one of these divisions. So for consumer healthcare, for example, we've got Evora Plus out now. We're going to be following on shortly with a pet product called Teddy's Pride. Most people don't realize this, but periodontal disease is a huge problem for companion pets. And so we have a product that we feel will help in solving that problem. We also have Evora Kids that will be coming out sometime in Q2, potentially early Q3. We also have we didn't talk about this, but we have a weight loss product as well. So, you know, for the consumer healthcare division, you know, it's product launch year. It's a year to get established, get some major accounts, establish some licensing arrangements with large companies, which are in the works now, and to basically start generating some significant revenues to bring into the company. In terms of antibiotics, I think, you know, Dr. Hill will talk a little bit about that. We're scaling up the MU1140 molecule right now with Almac out of Ireland, and you know, our goal is to get that process finished and, you know, perfected, and then do preclinicals, and then hopefully move into phase one clinical trials sometime in the first half of next year. You know, we're also talking to major players in the pharmaceutical industry about how we can partner and leverage, you know, their size and abilities to help us get the antibiotics moving quicker. In terms of diagnostics, you've already seen one. We've got a collaboration agreement with a major diagnostics company. We've got a number of how many projects do we have going in diagnostics, Jeff?
About 25 right now. Everything from plant diseases to cancer to infectious diseases and even bioscavenging, petroleum and ore.
So the ball's moving forward on that end too, and so we've got a number of projects going in the diagnostic space, and this is a very important year for Orogenix. And it's a year that I think investors will look back on and see that that operationally, the corner, you know, we turned the corner, and that things are now happening. We're commercializing product. The science has reached the stage where it's mature enough that we can proceed and try and get licensing deals with major companies, and also, you know, look into joint ventures. So a lot is happening here, and we're very focused on making all of the technologies work and make them successful.
Well, that brings me to the next question. Before we conclude, what are some of the key reasons that investors should consider Orogenix as a long-term investment opportunity?
Well, what you always want to see with a biotech company is the actualization of the potential. And so if you look at Orogenix historically, there's been an enormous amount of potential. Biotech companies take a long time to commercialize. And so what you're seeing now is this actualization process happening. We are commercializing products now. We're moving forward with all of the technologies. We're getting to the point with these technologies where you're going to start to see some very important progress and very substantial things happen. So it's not like the potential is going to be realized in 10 years. I mean, this is happening now. And so I think that if we're able to successfully complete some of the goals that we put in place internally, I think the investors will be very happy.
Well, we certainly do look forward to tracking the company's progress over the next few months and into the long term. And I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, again for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.